turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 1. Proverbs, chapter number 1, and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 21, or excuse me, Proverbs chapter 1. I had preached on the book of Proverbs back in 2015. If you were here, I had a wonderful time. I enjoyed it. I don't know if y'all did, but I got a chance on Wednesday nights to preach chapter by chapter through it. Proverbs is an excellent book. This is not a series, just something the Lord laid on my heart and my devotions I want to bring to you tonight, but if you've never challenged yourself in Bible reading, I challenge you to read the book of Proverbs in a month. There's 31 days in your typical month, not February, but read a chapter a day, and it'll be a blessing to you just to challenge yourself to be faithful to do that. If you have not started a Bible reading plan for the year, it's not too late. If you'll read 3 chapters a day, you will get through the entire Bible in one calendar year. You can read 9 chapters, they get through the whole New Testament in a month. It's doable. And I challenged myself that last year with that. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, this was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. I think Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs so that knowing his son would not have him there as a counselor when he took the throne. David is the only king of Israel who transitioned to the throne while he's still alive. Saul died on the battlefield, took his own life. But David, while still alive, had the presence of mind, even though his body was weak and frail, he had the presence of mind to recognize that the kingdom was starting to descend into civil strife. He surrendered the kingdom to his son, bowed his head on the bed and said, "God save the king," to his son, and lived for a year or two after that. And so Solomon became king, and he had his father there for the first little while. But when Rehoboam would take the throne, Solomon knew he'd be dead and not here. Now, I think he wrote down the book of Proverbs for posterity and for other reasons, but I think the big reason is because he just knew he wasn't going to be there, and he knew his son was going to need wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. Let's read it together, please. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" You know, tonight I've titled this a spiritual self-evaluation. Solomon is calling upon us to take a minute and evaluate our lives. I mean, one of the things that I've often challenged myself with over the past 20 years is from time to time I actually sit down and take a minute and think and say, all right, what is it I want? What is it I want to accomplish? What do I want my life to be like physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially? How do I want it to be? Then number 2, after I lay those things out, I say to myself, all right, now, if it's going to happen, it's because I decided to do it now. If I don't like the way something's going, then I need to make the change. I need to go to God, and I need to pray, and I need to seek His face in the Word of God and line up my goals with the Word of God. To have God set my goals, have God set my understanding of how my life's supposed to be physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, however you want to, whether it's in your career, you need to go to God for that. And when you do, especially if there's an area of your life that you don't particularly care, you don't like the way it's going, then you've got to be the one who decides, now's the time. I'm not going to wait for the New Year's resolution time. I'm not going to wait till next month. I'm going to change. I want to make a change in this area of my life, and I'm going to do it right now. So if you've got an area of your life that you don't like the way things are going, only dead fish float. You cannot just coast and expect it to change. You can't expect people around you to change it for you. You can't expect the church or the pastor to change it for you. You've got to be the one who takes God's word and goes, what do you want, God? How do you want me to be? How do you want my life to be? This is an area I'm having a problem with. You got to determine you're going to change now. And it's like Solomon is saying, how long do you want to live like this? Look at verse 22 again. How long, ye simple ones? How long will you love simplicity? How long, ye scorners, will you love scorning? How long, ye fools, how long will you hate knowledge? If these were a wonderful condition to be in, the Bible wouldn't speak against them. The Bible would speak positively of these things. But they're not. And I just could hear Solomon's voice saying, have you sat down and just looked your life over? It's surprising how fast things are moving. Have you noticed that? We just came out of Christmas. We're already just about through January. And as I taught you in the creation series a couple weeks ago, the earth's rotation is slowing down. But Brother Jim, it doesn't seem like life's time is slowing down. It seems like it's speeding up. Kids are getting older. I'm getting older. Things are wearing out. And it's like Solomon is saying, look, let's review your life. Let's review where you are. Do you like it? Do you like these things? Well, then how long are you going to sit in it? How long are you going to let it just stay that way? And it was like a call, Solomon's call to us. Now, in verse 22, a simple person does not mean mentally handicapped. I mean, in the Hebrew, it literally means somebody who has space. And of course, you might think, well, they have space between their ears. You may work with people that you think has room for rent upstairs. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about somebody who has no firm convictions. They're open to be influenced. They're easily allured and deceived. They're somebody that just doesn't want to have the responsibility of knowledge. And thus have convictions. They want to be able to make changes and satisfy the people around them and not be held to some standard or accountable for anything. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? The problem is a simple man believes every word, kind of like a Mesa in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. And that's a good verse to circle, because the opposite of simple is prudent. We've been talking about this in Teen Glow on Sunday nights. We've been talking about the 49 different biblical character qualities and what it means, what prudent means. It means somebody who takes responsibility, somebody who does what they're supposed to. And we'll look at that in just a second. But is this you and I? Is there areas of our life that we really just don't want to know much about because I don't want to have the responsibility of then being held to the standard of knowing? I've met men and women that in their job, they don't want any part of a certain role or responsibility because that means they would be held to that standard. They kind of like flying under the radar. They like their own little fiefdom. I had a man, we called it the crib, the parched crib, down at Advanced Technology Services when I worked there. And John Murphy was a friend of mine. He still is, but he just liked his little domain. He didn't like change. He didn't like just parts went out, parts came in. That's all he cared about. He didn't want any other responsibility for that. Didn't want to know about it. Didn't want to learn anything. Wouldn't read books. Just liked no responsibility or that level of it. And it's true. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. You are to live, the Bible you know, to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. But God wants you to grow. God doesn't want you to stay simple. He doesn't want you to stay at this area of responsibility when it comes to your walk in your finances, in your relationships, in your spiritual walk, in your physical body, in your health, and every aspect of your life. He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to stay. He wants you moving. He wants you growing. He wants you becoming more like Christ in these areas. Now, I said the opposite of simple is prudent. And I looked it up, and the word prudent meant cautious, circumspect, cunning, somebody who's careful and measures consequences. That's what prudent means. They know how to behave. Is that us? If you were to examine those areas of your life, are you prudent in the area of your finances? Are you prudent in your walk with God? Are you prudent in your relationships? Are you prudent in your health? Are you taking responsibility? Are you taking charge? Are you making a change? If change could happen, do you want it? If you do, well, then the only person who can make that happen is you. You're going to be the one that says, I want it, and I'm going to make the change now. No one else can do it for you. Life has a way of making simple people who are simple, and I'm not talking about mentally handicapped. I'm talking about people who are happy at a responsibility level where they are.
Life has a way of forcing us to grow or forcing us out. Sometimes, and I know I don't like having to be forced. I'd rather it was my idea, so I'm telling you to make it your idea. I could just hear Solomon say that. How long? How long is this going to go on? How long are you going to be static in that spot in your growth? How long is that going to be? Then he says in Proverbs 1:22, he says, how long will ye scorners delight in their scorning? Do you see that? He says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. Now, the word scornful means somebody who mocks revealed truth. A scorner doesn't like to be under authority of any kind because they don't like correction. It's what the Bible says. It says they don't like correction. Yeah, they cause contention and strife, kind of like Job's friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:10, the only thing you can do with a scorner is cast them out. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. My preacher all had this saying, I've shared it with many of you, that most churches in America are two funerals away from revival. I thought it was funny when he said it. I still think it's funny. What do you mean by that, preacher? A scorner is somebody who opposes authority. They hear what God says, but they resist it. A true critic. A scorner is dangerous because they influence other people who are simple and weaker. They speak against corrective authority. You see this with Korah and Dathan when they rose up against Moses. It said in Proverbs 9:7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself a shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth him a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. That's Proverbs 19:28. They delight in scorning, and they hurt other people, and they mock authority. They will not listen to correction. They will not find wisdom. Now, is that us? I can just hear Solomon saying, how long are you going to be like this? I've been working with the teenagers on Sunday night, and I love it, and I've been talking to them about, all right, so what's it going to be like when you're an adult? Is the current attitude you have toward authority going to fly when you're on the job? The way you treat your parents, the way you talk to your parents, do you think your boss is going to put up with that? Nay, you think your boss is going to pay you to put up with that? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Love you. That's why I say to him, I love you. And I what we thought was cute when you were a baby is not cute when you're 14, and it's going to be deadly when you're an adult. It's going to ruin you. And I can just hear Solomon saying, how long? How long are you going to live like this? When do you think the adult threshold happens? Adults, do you think you've crossed that threshold yet? When it comes to your interaction with authority. Most people don't believe this, but the person who is submissive to authority is the one who's actually in charge of the situation. They're the one in charge. They're the one in control of themselves. Because many times, people who are in authority got thrust into authority or got put into authority and don't know what to do with it, and they act terrible, and they don't know how to handle it. But a person who is wise, they listen. See, that's what the opposite of this is. A wise man. He says, how long will you scorners delight in scorning? Have you ever met somebody who's just mad at the world? Just mad at the world. They're mad at everybody. They're afraid everybody's going to take advantage of them. They have no trust in anybody. But it all comes down to, I don't want to be corrected. And I don't want somebody saying, I can't do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's what a scorner does. They despise it. They despise it. So it's like Solomon is saying, do you like living like this? Do you like your life this way? Then how would you want it if you could just, with a magic wand, change it? Of course, there is no magic wand, but if you could change your life in this area, the way you interact, the way other people interact with you. Number two, are you willing to make a change today? Are you willing to let the Bible be your authority in this area? And will you do what it takes? That's what I hear Solomon saying. Just how long? If you were to review your life, your current situation, your relationships, your health, your finances, your spiritual walk with God, are you satisfied? Are you willing to make a change? Do you want to change? Do you realize that other people changing isn't going to help? When I was in college, I moved away and went down to a place called Herron, Illinois. Well, my only real job experience was working in greenhouses. So Herron had a greenhouse. And I worked for a lady there that I swear was a Nazi on the run, because she worked me like a slave. I went down there at 230 pounds. I came home at Thanksgiving 185. She worked me like, I mean, oh my soul. And I was like, I don't want to go back to school, because I had to work my way through college. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to school. She's just terrible. Man, she's so hard to get along with. And I ran into a buddy. And my buddy said, you know, you need this job. She pays you more than minimum wage. And she goes on and kind of lists it out for me. You know, and I just had some time to decompress. When I got back, it was like she had a complete change in her life. She was like a completely different person. Turns out I was a completely different person, and we got along just fine. Many times it's us. People respond to you. How are they responding to you? See, the person who's angry and frustrated is not the person in control. The person surrendered to the Spirit of God is. They're the ones in charge. And Solomon is saying, how long? Now look at that last part of Proverbs 1:22. He says, how long? And then he says, and fools hate knowledge. How long? Fools hate knowledge. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you say no to God in certain areas of your life? Is there an area? Is it your health and your eating habits or workout habits? Or is it in your relationships? Is it your spending habits? Is it your attitude? Is it your career habits? Is there areas of your life where you go, no? No thank you kindly is how they say it in Arkansas. No thank you kindly. You stay out, that means stay in your lane. Stay out of my business. Is there an area of your life where God is not allowed in your business? On Sunday night with the teens, we talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness. The opposite of forgiveness is rejection. The definition of forgiveness is clearing the record, releasing someone from the debt they have caused with you. Is there an area, like, and forgiveness can be tough, because I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like it. Do you? Sometimes that little anger that builds up inside us, we kind of feed on it. Kind of feels good. Feels good because it causes us up here to think the thoughts we shouldn't think. Anger, malice, wrath, sedition, heresy, things like that happen because we want to chew on that anger for a while. And so I ask you, how long do you want to live that way? The Bible says that a fool despises wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 17:16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? The Bible says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. They're always looking for something else, some other way to fix things than the way God says to fix things. They're determined to go their own way. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He or she has all the answers. He or she needs no one else to tell them how to do that or anything. Is that you? Is that us? He or she doesn't care what others think about them. Is that us? He or she is apathetic at what God thinks about them. Is that us? You know, I like God in this area, and as long as God stays in his lane, we're going to get along fine. But if God starts to encroach, And that's when you get mad at the Sunday school teacher because he brought up something. Or you get mad at the preacher because he brought up something. Or you get mad at Miss So-and-so because she was standing around at the fellowship time and she brought up something. And it cut just a little too close to a lane you don't want God in. An area you don't want God peeking his nose in. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool is someone who is unwilling to learn. They hate knowledge. That's what it says in Proverbs 1:22. It also says the same thing in Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. They have no use for it. So what do you do with it? I mean, my preacher used to say experience is the best teacher if you're too dumb to learn any other way. And a fool has a tendency to have experience train them or break them in an area. There's a phrase in the Bible that says that Jesus is like the stone. If you'll break yourself on the stone of Christ will not grind you to powder. It's an interesting little parable saying. And the truth is, the more we buck up against God, it's us who gets broken. It's us that gets bruised and battered. But if we'll just submit. I could hear Solomon say it. How long? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will ye scorners delight in your scorning against authority? Do you know that becomes an addiction? It becomes a persistent habit. How long will ye fools hate knowledge? Now, the opposite of being a fool is being wise. Now, the Bible says you can't really help a fool. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. You can't really help them. They don't want help, and they won't take help. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It's really dangerous when you run with fools. Teenagers, you need to be paying attention to this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when you tell me who your friends are, I will tell you who and what you are. But I want you to see what God says about running around with fools. Look what it says in Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If your friends are all lost, because you are who you run with, birds of a feather flock together, mom and dad. You need to pick friends for your kids. You need to pick friends. You need to be watching that. And teenagers, if your friends are fools, it won't be long until the consequences come. You come face to face with it. Sooner or later, they always do. And I can hear Solomon say, how long? This area of your life, do you like it? Is it bearing the fruit you want to bear? Are you seeing growth in spiritually, emotionally, physically, in relationally, in all the different areas, in your career? Are you seeing the growth you want? Are you seeing things you want? How long do you want to stay like that? Nobody else can make you change. I was in a Bible study here recently, and I said, you know, God never goes against your will. But he may change the circumstances to make you willing to go, but that's not really what he wants. And we do that with our kids. We should anyway. When they won't obey, you need to up the ante. You need to escalate till they can't play anymore. It's therapeutic for them to understand that there are limits. There are rules, and there are reasons for the rules. And I can just hear Solomon say, how long? How long are you going to run like that? How long are you going to? You know, one of the coolest things about getting married young was when we moved out of my parents' house, we're on our own. I mean, we was on our own. Jim, were you on your own when you moved out? Yep. Did you have to pay your own car insurance? And if it broke, you had to fix it? And I remember changing my oil on a curb. I pulled the car up on a curb and could slide under it because mom and dad weren't around. You know, sometimes people got to feel it. I was grieved this week to get an email from a family who's in a church that the leadership have come out with an alternative lifestyle. Is that the PC way to say that?
They're trying to do church discipline, but half the church won't remove fellowship. Do you know what that means, to remove fellowship? That means you stop going to dinner with them. You stop inviting them over. You tell them, listen, I love you, but you're not right with the Lord. You're not right with the church, and we want you to be. So come back. Come back and make it right. Come back and come back to the Lord. Why? Because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, where we were in verse 5, a wise man will hear. He will hear. That means he'll receive. He'll listen to instruction and will increase learning. He'll take it to heart. He may not be really good at applying it. He may not be really efficient at it, but bless God, he wants it. And he may not know what to do with it, but he's happy to have it because he wants to grow. He wants to change. He wants to expand. He wants it to change. The question is that us? Are we wise? I mean, we may not always know how to make the change, but we know we want it. That's step one. Then he says here in Proverbs 1:5, he says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Man, find somebody who'll give you wise counsel. What's wise counsel? Counsel that lines up with the Word of God. There are godly people in all walks of life. You just got to find out. I was talking to somebody that my friends called me and said, Brother Mix, do you know, is there somebody a lawyer that you could call, we could call on for family services? And I'm like, no, but we sure need to win us a lawyer to the Lord. If it's possible, we need to win a lawyer to the Lord. Right? And a pediatrician and a dentist and an eye doctor wouldn't it be great to have one in our church? But the truth is there are godly people you can get counsel from, but are you willing to get it? Are you willing to take it? Are you willing to take time off work and set up an appointment? I mean, if you're bleeding out your eyes, you'd take time off your work and you'd go see a doctor and let him minister to you. If you've got a problem in other areas of your life, why won't you take the time to go see a professional that's godly, even if it's in Maryland or if it's in Stafford, or you got to drive a little bit? See, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. They'll find it. They may not know what right is, but they want to find somebody who does, and then they're going to listen, and then they're going to do something about it because they decided. And I can just hear Solomon say, how long? How long are you going to keep this up? How long are you going to be mad? How long are you going to be unforgiving? How long are you going to be unsubmissive to authority? How long are you just going to fight for fight's sake? How long? See, the only person who can make that decision is us. Now, the Bible says that a wise man is different from a foolish man. That a wise man will actually hear, and a wise man will actually take counsel. They will not scorn truth. And a wise man will actually ask the questions. It's interesting. When you look at Samuel, it says he actually listens. When you looked at David's life, he said in Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know, failure doesn't have to be fatal. In fact, we don't actually learn anything from success. If everything just goes smoothly and it worked, you can't really tell me why. But if you fail at it a few times, you can tell me why it worked, what changes you made. Don't run from failure. Don't hide from failure. Don't curl up in a ball and suck your thumb. Learn from it. My preacher always said, if life knocks you down, pick something up when you get up. Get back up and pick something up on your way. Accept the correction. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. Proverbs 9:9. One of the coolest things I saw recently was a podcast on characteristics of the top 100 CEOs in the world. One of them is they're constantly learning. They're constantly reading. They're constantly growing in some way.
They're either finding people to listen to, or they're reading books, or they're wanting to learn. Is that us? Is that us? Is there an area of our life where we've grown enough and we're comfortable and that's enough? And I can just hear Solomon say, how long? How long? You know, a wise man prepares, Proverbs 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know, there's a whole lot gets done between 6 and 8 in the morning. A lot of folks never see. But the success doesn't come at 3 in the afternoon. It comes in the morning. It comes when you're preparing for your day. Did you know a wise person follows instructions? Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Is that us? How long? That's what I hear Solomon say. How long are you going to put up with that? How long are you going to live that way? How long are you going to be satisfied with the response you've gotten and the growth you're at? How long are you going to be like that? Will you hear? Is that us? How long has it been since you sat down in a quiet place with a legal pad and a pen and just made a list and said, "This, if change is possible, this is what I'd like to see. This is the kind of Christian I'd like to be. This is what I'd like my prayer life to be. This is what I'd like my devotional life to be. This is what I'd like my relationship with God to be. This is what my relationship with my parents would be. This is what my relationship with my spouse would be. This is what my relationship with my kids would be. This is how my career would go. This is how..." And you start laying it out there. Because you got to have a target. And then review it. Does it line up with the Word of God? But at some point, you got to know what you're going after. And number two, you got to be the one who decides. That's what I hear Solomon say. How long are you going to live this way? How long are you going to be satisfied like this? How long are you going to be apart from me in this area? How long are you going to hold me out of this area? How long are you going to say no? Does God ever get tired of us saying no to him? Yeah, he does. And some days, he will let life crash through so he can be heard. How long? Is that us? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. How are things going? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We talked about the simple person versus the prudent. We talked about the scorner. We've talked about the fool and the wise. Our Father and our God, we love you. And without a doubt, life is a series of course corrections toward the goal of Christ as our example. And Father, so often, like a ship, we get blown off course. But Father, we know it's up to us to make the decision to correct. Father, please, tonight, speak to every heart and every soul. Father, if there's anger, reveal it so we might confess it and repent of it. If there's unforgiveness, reveal it and we might confess it and repent from it. If it's disrespect for authority, God, reveal it that we might confess it and repent it. Father, speak to every heart. And Father, may we be the people that are called after your name, people that embody your character. Now, brothers and sisters, in the next few moments, won't you take a moment and just pray? And ask God about these areas of your life as we pray together. Our Father and our God, as we go from this place tonight, Father, we look to you to bring direction.
Father, you have provided us with your word and the wealth of wisdom that it is. Holy Spirit, Jesus said you would guide us into all truth. And tonight we ask that you would do so as we read your word, as we listen to it spoken, as we hear it taught and preached. And Father, that you would grow us. Put wise counselors in our life. And Father, point out to us where our hearts are hard and closed. Father, that we might submit ourselves to Thee. Our desire is to grow and be like Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.